agriculture is Saskatchewan, and 620 CKRM is your source for everything ag. Welcome to our newly expanded Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Here's your host, Jim Smalley.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. It's brought to you by Seedmasters Nova Series 2. No clever message, just simple, no-nonsense precision. Learn more about the features at seedmaster.ca. And brought to you by Assiniboia Livestock for the most reliable and dependable way to market your livestock. Today, we have a look at the effort to clean up unwanted farm pesticides and old livestock medications across southern Saskatchewan. Clean Farms is a nonprofit group set up to get rid of unwanted farm chemicals. 20 locations across the province all this week. Each specific location has it's open only one specific day. We have a look at a research project to grow forage on saline soils. Real Agriculture looks at low Earth orbit satellite technology. And we take a look at crop yields across Saskatchewan and rainfall this growing season. A feature interview with the crop extension specialist in Outlook. There's also a feature on the Pulse Growers director elections. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour.
Day.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri News Director Jim Smalley.
Starting today, unwanted farm chemicals are being collected at 20 sites across southern Saskatchewan. The executive director for the nonprofit group Clean Farms, Barry Friesen, says there's no cost to producers.
Well, we are an industry stewardship organization. We're funded by the industry, the people that produce these materials. And why they're doing it is simply because they want to do right for the environment. They want to make sure that these materials go to get disposed in the proper way so that they're not indiscriminately distributed, you know, cause harm into the environment. There's safe to use in accordance with their directions, but if there's leftover material, the unwanted material, farmers can bring them back free of charge to dispose of them.
So there's no cost at all to farmers?
Absolutely no cost to farmers. And, you know, it's all the cost of the program is already included in the cost of the product, and this is something that farmers can participate, and not just farmers as well. The people who use them, commercial pesticides for golf courses or for vegetation control as well.
Where does it go?
Most of it, or all of it, gets disposed by a high temperature incineration. Because of the mix of chemicals and animal health medications, there's no recycling available to them because it's a whole mix of different material. It'd be like unscrambling an omelet if we tried to do that. So for the most part, the safest method is high temperature incineration. In the past, most of it went to Swan Hills, Alberta. That facility is shutting down, so we're using other incinerators to do this.
Yeah, I understand it's specific items only, though, that you will take. What do you take?
Well, it's all commercial, old or unwanted agricultural pesticides, commercial only. Commercial pesticides used in golf courses and industrial and commercial pest control products. And medications used in rearing animals in an agriculture context or for equine use. So those are the materials we collect. So if you're a farmer or with a pesticide license to apply these materials, or an applicator or a golf course operator that has these materials, you can take these things back. What we do not collect, though, are fertilizers. Fertilizer is not part of the program. Diluted solutions, so rinseate, if you've generated rinseate, these are not part of the program. That's for yourself to deal with. Large quantities of unwanted products, they really have a different stream. Often they can be reused in a different manner. So if a farmer has large quantities of unwanted, unopened product, they should contact their dealer where they bought it. And if they have trouble getting rid of it, contact us and we'll try and deal with you to deal with it. Treated seed, certainly not in there. And we don't collect needles and sharps as well. And lastly, you commonly get this, if you have household products that you use in your household or for, you know, spray on your lawn, and that's not part of the program. That's household hazardous waste that managed in a different manner.
And you do specific areas every 3 years. You're in southern Saskatchewan this year. How many locations do you have?
We have 20 locations, and they're one-day events, and you can pick whatever is closest to you, or if something's not convenient, you're driving by another one. Provided they're operating on that day, you can drop your material off there.
best way for farmers to find out where in their area that the collection site is?
Go to cleanfarms.ca, and most of the dealers should have information on this at their site. So call your dealer, call ahead, and make sure that it's available on the, and come in the particular day. If you get in the wrong day, you're not collecting it. What happens is we have to hire a hazardous waste company to come in that sets up shop in their parking lot to collect these materials. So you have to be there on the day that they're there. If you're not, it doesn't work for you. And but go to cleanfarms.ca or call your dealer about or call us, and we can find out more about it.
And it starts today and it runs right through Friday?
You bet, yes. And again, just check the schedule and where the location is and what date you can go to. Farmers recognize they need to leave their land in as good or better condition, and big thanks to Saskatchewan farmers for doing this.
Friesen says the drop-off locations today and today only are Moose Jaw Co-op, Cargill in Raymore, Richardson in Whitewood, and Emerge Ag in Eston. The 20 locations are open for one specific day this week, and farmers are encouraged to check their local retailer for details tomorrow. The drop-off sites are Hawks Agro in Gravelburg, Nutrien Ag Solutions in Ituna, GMAX Ag Team in Leader, and Sharp Soil Services in Mooseman.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
This portion is brought to you by Salford Group. Call your Salford equipment dealer or visit salfordgroup.com. Soil salinity affects up to 2.5 million acres of land in Western Canada, with another 19 million acres at a moderate to high risk of salinization. A research project at the Discovery Farm west of Langham is working to find out which forage species or species mix can have the most positive impact on higher salinity soil. The study is being sponsored by Nutrien Ag Solutions, Proven Seeds, and Ducks Unlimited. Nutrien Ag Solutions Manager of Agronomy in North Central Saskatchewan, Brianna Lummerding, spoke to reporters at the research site last week.
We've identified a corner of the field that's been saline for a long time, and instead of putting an annual crop, we have put in saline-tolerant forages in a 180-foot by 160-foot area. We have chosen to do three types of salt-tolerant forages. We're doing a AC Saltlander, a Saline Master Blend, and a Halo Alfalfa. So these types of salt-tolerant forages that we've selected have been bred to be able to handle higher salt levels in the soil. So AC Saltlander is your most salt-tolerant wheatgrass on the market. It generally can do pretty well without competing weeds like foxtail barley that are generally present in those saline areas. We also chose Saline Master, which has a 40% blend of your AC Saltlander with some other salt-tolerant grasses as well. And then we also wanted to try a Halo Alfalfa, which is one of the most salt-tolerant alfalfas on the market. And what we're trying to do here is seeing how these different forages establish and take, as well as how many cuts we get and how well they handle a saline corner of a field. And our intentions here are, because an annual crop generally isn't going to perform well under these saline conditions, it is in our best interest to be planting a forage crop here and dealing with the water levels and the salinity that way, because we're going to get a lot more value in getting cuts for feed here in this area over trying to get a cash annual crop to establish and to get a return that way.
Lummerding says soil salinity can have a wide range.
Salinity can vary greatly in a small area. So even in 100 feet, you can have a EC measured of 3.5 and go 100 feet in either direction and only be at a 0.5. So you can be non-saline in a saline area as well as very saline. So that is the importance, and when you have saline areas, to be sampling in more than one area in that saline area, as well as multiple depths, as that salinity through moisture can travel down and up and down that soil profile. So being at a 0 to 6 in that rooting zone is a good start, but also wanting to monitor lower depths as well. So trying to get a 6 to 12 and a 12 to 18 to see where that's, the salts are fluctuating in that soil profile.
Lummerding says weeds are cut at different levels.
So what we're doing here is, instead of spraying out for weeds, we are trying to get a handle on the weeds by mowing. The reason for this is, with salinity, you want to keep it covered, so we don't want to spray, have that ground be black. The weeds themselves are providing us a purpose, they are sucking up some of that salt water, especially kochia and foxtail barley. So instead of spraying those out and having black soil, we're letting them grow and we're mowing. Now we're doing multiple heights for cuts. We did a 2-inch and a 6-inch. This purpose is to see how different heights may affect weed control as well as snow catch in the winter and overall establishment.
Lumberding says there are some results from the first year of research.
The biggest thing we've seen so far is we, under kind of maybe some non-ideal moisture conditions, we were able to get a catch of the forages, which is really exciting. So now it's being patient and waiting and seeing what the next few years brings.
Lumberding explains next year's research.
So we're going to continue with mowing as the weed control and just allowing those forages to establish. And this is, you know, generally a 3 to 5 year project. And as I stated before, these soils that we're working on have been saline for a very long time. So we're not trying to change the soils. We're just trying to better manage and farm on the soils.
Brianna Lumberding is Nutrien Ag Solutions Manager of Agronomy in North Central Saskatchewan. She's the lead in the Soil Salinity Project at the Glacier Farm Media Discovery Farm near Langham.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your realagriculture.com update brought to you by the Canola School. Get canola agronomic information when you need it on your smartphone, tablet, or laptop. Our library of timely agronomic information is free and available at canolaschool.com. Sean Haney here with realagriculture.com and Real Ag Radio. I'm joined right now by Alexandra Posadsky. She is a telecom reporter with the Globe and Mail. Alexandra, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing great. You wrote a piece this week in the Globe, very, very important topic. I think a lot of our audience in rural Canada and rural United States, very, very interested in this topic. And it's all to do with low Earth orbit, LEO satellite systems. What exactly is this technology?
So LEO satellites, or LEOs, as they're sometimes called, are basically satellites that are orbiting quite close to the Earth. So in comparison to geostationary or geo satellites, which are much higher up, these LEO satellites are significantly closer to the Earth, and therefore they're able to potentially get faster download speeds for internet connections and lower latency, which is a delay between when a signal is sent up to the satellite and then gets beamed back down to an internet user. So that's referred to as latency. And having lower latency service just allows for a better user experience.
The title of your piece, Internet Everywhere, But at a Cost, it talks about how this is actually a much more competitive landscape than I was definitely aware of. Of course, I think a lot of people that have been following this are familiar with Elon Musk and his push to be one of the leaders. But there's a number of companies on the U.S. and Canadian side trying to, I guess, get their foot in the door and be a leader.
Yeah, it is a very competitive space. You're right that a lot of people are most familiar with the Starlink project, which is a project underway by SpaceX. They're quite far ahead in terms of having already launched more than 700 satellites into orbit, but that's still a small number of the total number of satellites that they're planning to launch. But then there's these other initiatives. There's Telesat, which is based out of Ottawa. There's OneWeb, which is a UK-based player, and Amazon has its own proposal called Project Cooper, which is also in the works. And those are just some of the main ones. There are other smaller companies in this space as well.
Well, as people across rural Canada and the U.S. get more and more frustrated with the gap in internet broadband speeds, of course, people in urban areas, the speeds seem to get faster and faster, and everybody living in rural areas still kind of really kind of disappointed. So what kind of internet speeds are we potentially talking about if one or multiple of these companies are able to deliver it to the marketplace?
I mean, that's a great question, and it really depends on the specific proposals. So all of the plans are all slightly different. And one of the challenges, of course, is that you know, it's a new technology. And so it's hard to know at this point with certainty sort of exactly how good the service could potentially be. Although SpaceX has done some early testing, I guess, through some of their employees are doing some early tests of the service. And they're saying that the speeds that they're getting are quite fast and the latencies are quite low, enough to enable people to play video games, for example.
Your piece laid out very clearly that there's a lot of opportunity here, but this is a topic, this is a technology. Although it sounds great, it is not short of challenges.
U.S. telecom regulator, the FCC, has flagged that they're just not convinced that these satellite operators are going to be able to deliver a low latency service, even with these LEO satellites. So the current geostationary satellites that are in operation, we know, do have a much higher latency than what people in urban areas would get through, say, a fiber connection. So definitely that's an area of concern, but I mean, the operators have said that they don't agree and that they have this sort of early evidence to suggest that they will be able to achieve the sort of sub 100 millisecond latency that the FCC is looking for.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
It's your agro weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. The 620 CKRM farm weather for today, mainly cloudy sky with 30% chance of flurries early this afternoon, clearing this afternoon, wind west 20, the high minus 2, the low minus 8, wind chill minus 14 tonight. Tomorrow, light snow changing to a few rain showers in the morning and ending in the afternoon, then cloudy, risk of freezing rain in the morning, wind southwest 20, becoming west 40, gusting to 60 in the morning. The high tomorrow, plus 6. Wind chill minus 9 in the morning, 30% chance of evening showers, the low minus 3. Wednesday, sunny, the high plus 4, the low minus 5. Thursday, sunny, the high plus 6, the low minus 6. Friday, sunny, the high plus 7, the low minus 4. Saturday, sunny, the high plus 6, the low minus 1. Sunday, sunny, and a high forecast, 13 degrees. Normal high is plus 7, the normal low minus 6. The sun rose at 7:40 this morning. It sets at 5:45 tonight. And around the province, the hot spot, plus 1 in Leader in west central Saskatchewan. The cold spot, East End in southwest Saskatchewan, at minus 12. Estevan, minus 9, Saskatoon, minus 1, Swift Current, minus 3, Weyburn, minus 7, and Yorkton, also minus 7. Cloudy in Regina, minus 5, that's 23 Fahrenheit, winds are from the west at 18, gusting to 27. Humidity, 56%, the barometer dropping, 102.1. Cloudy in Moose Jaw, minus 3, winds are from the west at 28. Once again, Regina, cloudy, minus 5, that's 23 Fahrenheit. Back in a moment.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. The biggest wheat yields in Saskatchewan this year appear to be in the northeast part of the grain belt. Stats from the final crop report show the average spring wheat yield in the northeast reached 53 bushels per acre, followed by the west central and northwest at 46 bushels an acre, which was the provincial average. The southeast and east central regions had 45 bushels, while the southwest had an average of 36 bushels an acre for spring wheat. For canola, the biggest yields in Saskatchewan, again in the northeast at 40 bushels, followed by 39 in the northwest and 38 in west central Saskatchewan. The southeast and east central had the provincial average of 37 bushels per acre. That's for canola. The southwest had 27 bushels an acre for canola. The 10-year provincial average is 34 bushels.
The northern grain belt was the wettest spot across the province during the growing season. The final crop report of the year says a farm near Frenchman Butte, about 550 kilometers northwest of Regina, had the largest rainfall since the 1st of April. Frenchman Butte recorded 495 millimeters, or almost 20 inches of rain. The northeast was also wet, with Hudson Bay receiving 407 millimeters, or over 16 inches of rain. Other wet spots include Rokenville, 230 kilometers east of Regina, at 346 millimeters, or 14 inches. Morse, about 185 kilometers west of Regina, had 334 millimeters, or over 13 inches of rain. So rain indeed this year was very spotty and haphazard across the provincial grain belt. Farmers in many parts of the grain belt are hoping for improved soil moisture. The crop extension specialist in Outlook, about 235 kilometers northwest of Regina, Kaylee Kindrichuk, says harvest has wrapped up with yields wide-ranging.
So yields were variable depending on where the rains hit, and then as well, because we are in the Outlook area, we have the advantage with irrigation. So depending on whether or not the field was irrigated or dry land. Generally though, yields were average to maybe even below average for most producers in this area. However, harvest is done now. We had a nice open fall, and everybody is very happy about that.
Much winter wheat seeding?
No. To my knowledge, there has been no winter wheat or fall rye put in this year. Just because the conditions have been so dry, there really wasn't a whole lot of appetite for putting in a winter cereal this year.
Just because it's really dry. So producers are looking for some moisture. What about spring seeding intentions? Any idea there?
So we haven't heard too much for spring seeding intentions in this area. I can imagine that they'd be very similar to last year. Most producers are probably waiting to see what the moisture will bring for the winter. So if we get some decent snowfall, perhaps those intentions may change a little bit and shift into some different crops. But for now, I think it's safe to say that we're about the same as what we were this last year.
So in summer, you said harvest is done, kind of average to below average, and looking for moisture.
Exactly. Yeah, that sums it up perfectly.
Kaylee Kindrichuk is the crop extension specialist for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture in Outlook.
Yay.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Diggleman Industries. Look to Diggleman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. A distinctive green envelope was mailed to all registered pulse crop producers in Saskatchewan last week. It contains all of the voting information for the Saskatchewan Pulse Growers Director election. Six candidates are running for three producer director positions on the SPG board. You can also hear from every candidate in a special election form that's been posted on the SAS Pulse Growers website to check out at your convenience. Each candidate talks about their background and answers a couple of questions. Andrea Lauder is SPG's communications manager.
I think it's really important for all of the pulse growers in the province to get to know each of the candidates, where they're from, what experience they can bring to a board, and in particular, what they feel are good challenges, but yet opportunities for the pulse industry.
Lauder says it's important for farmers to vote in the SAS Pulse Growers election.
I think growers need to realize that this board is represented by their peers. And so it's their opportunity to have their voices elevated and their concerns addressed. So, you know, making sure that they have the representation that they need on the board to forward their ideas and initiatives is important to growers.
Lauder says the green envelope has been in the mail for a couple days.
They will find a six-digit ID number that they will need for the electronic voting process. So they can log on to www.saskpulsevotes.com and enter in their unique six-digit ID number. And then they have the ability to choose three of the six candidates that are listed for the board of directors.
Lauder says paper ballots are also available.
If growers prefer to vote via paper ballot, that voter package that's been sent to them, that green envelope, will have contact information inside so that they can request a mail-in ballot.
The 20-minute podcast is posted on the SAS Pulse Growers website. Registered producers should have already received their voting information in a bright green envelope. The voting deadline is November 30th.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market Update brought to you by Scott Bjornson of Hollis Wealth. For more information or to book a free consultation, call 1-800-284-9999. And brought to you by Nelson GM, Assiniboia, and Avonlea. If you are a Costco member, get huge savings on current 2019 and 2020 SUVs right now. Grain prices at Viterra were moving down in early trading this morning. Canola fell 30 cents at $4.99.27. Number one Red Spring wheat dropped $3.85 at $2.39.28. The rest were unchanged. Durham, $2.79.25. Feed barley, $2.19.70. Flax, $6.37.91. Lentils, $6.07.50. Oats, $190.53. Yellow peas, $2.97.39. Feed wheat, $1.83.72. Minneapolis spring wheat December futures fell 11.5 cents at $5.66 a bushel.
Today,
it's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn 842-4574. And now, the latest livestock quotes.
Heartland Livestock Market Report, Donnie Peacock reporting from the Swift Current Yards. On the cow market on Tuesday, a 67-cent average on all the cows through the ring. We had 3,100 calves on Thursday sale, 3,751 Angus calves on the Saturday sale. Saturday was maybe a touch stronger on the British calves than Thursday was this week, but certainly the Charolais calves on Thursday outsold them all. The 3,751 calves was $3,834,000 for the sale, $1,022 per head. That's $116 per head less than last year. The heifer spread from steers is big. And off-tight calves, indistinct breed, blemished, short ears, weaned a week or two and looking stale, major discount. Seven weight black steers, 188. 660s, 190 and a quarter. 6 1/4s, 194 for the blacks, 193.75 for the reds, the bulls, 176. 580 weight steers, 198 and a quarter, 199.75. If we did have a one owner set from the Sanders at Beachy, bring 202 and a quarter on a full load of one owners. 550s, 203 to 207.75, right at 5 to 20. 480 weight red steers, 219.75, and right at 4, the reds, 257.50. 350 weight steers, nice package, 286.75. Here's 25 little 275-pound babies at 305. The heifer trade, the 6 weights, 167 and a quarter to 172. That's on the Angus cattle here on Saturday. The Char cattle quite a bit higher than that on Thursday. The 5 weight heifers, 167 to 175. 460 weights, a load of black heifers at 183. The 400 pounds right at 4, 197. And 350 weight set of really nice mixed color heifers, 208.75. That's the way it is in cattle country. Heartland Swift Current.
And the latest Saskatchewan pork prices, this is the Sig 4 plant in Brandon and the BP4 TCP4 Moose Jaw plant, both the same price, $182.19 per CKG. Coming up, the Resource Report.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by Olympic Buildings. See them for ag buildings, riding arenas, hay barns, and more. Build with confidence. Olympic-buildings.ca. Cenova stock is taking a hit after it announced a mega merger with fellow oil sands heavyweight Husky Energy. Cenova shares were down more than 12% in late morning trading on the Toronto Stock Exchange. It announced a surprise deal yesterday to acquire Husky in an all-share deal valued at $3.8 billion. Cenova shareholders would own about 61% of the combined company and Husky shareholders about 39%. On the markets, Canada's main stock index posted a triple-digit decline as the price of oil fell and U.S. stock markets retreated in late morning trading. The TSX Composite Index was down 202 points at 16,101. In New York, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 721 points at 27,614. The Canadian dollar traded at 75.66 cents U.S. compared with 76.10 cents on Friday. The December crude oil contract was down $1.46 at $38.39 a barrel. That's the resource report. Stay tuned for the closing grain prices at 1:45 this afternoon and an AgriNews report at 3:45 p.m. Tomorrow morning, there's another AgriNews report at 6:45 a.m. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley. Good afternoon and yay.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620ckrm.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, now starting after the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag. 620 CKRM.